Welcome to the City Confessions. I'm Marianne Yip, a native New Yorker, and I'm here to discuss all the thoughts that go through the minds of people living in New York City. Since I'm a native who was born and raised in the city that never sleeps, I come across people who are constantly in a rush. I would like to take a moment to sit down and talk about what's on their minds and what keeps them up at night. So sit back and let's dive into these confessions of people I know and people I just met. Hi guys, I hope you are doing well as usual. Today I have a really special and interesting guest. She is Sarah Nisbet, a self-taught life sketch artist and illustrator who loves to draw people, fashion, pets, and animals that she encounters on the way. And she's the creative director behind Drawn on the Way. So hi Sarah, how are you?
I'm good. How are you? Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thank you for recording this also. Like, today's a gloomy day in the city, and I don't know about you, but it's a good time to chit-chat, I feel like.
Yes, I feel like now is the time to talk to anyone and everyone. Most days are like, I've been in the same place with myself all day. Maybe I should talk to another human. So this is great.
I haven't thought about that because what you do is like on the go. And I'm not sure, you know, if you've been going out a lot. But yeah, we can talk more about that as well in terms of how this pandemic has affected your work, if at all.
Oh, for sure. It definitely has.
Yeah. So I also want to let you know I'm on your website and I love just like the bio because you write, we spend most of our lives on the way, rushing, commuting, running from task to task and place to place. And it aligns so well with my podcast because my whole motivation of starting this was I'm a native New Yorker and I am constantly on the go. I mean, not anymore, but I was always rushing to go from one place to the next. And I started to think, I had this moment actually also on the subway where I was looking at everybody who was in the subway car. And I was like, wow, it is so interesting to see clearly all of us are different backgrounds. We dress differently. We have, you know, we come from different, we have different ages and all of that. But what really stood out to me was that I felt like I had this like imaginary bubble like above everybody's heads. And I was like, wow, we are all going through our own struggles. We all have our different stories. And it's just so interesting. And I love, love getting to know people. So that's what really sparked my motivation to start this because I felt like I come across so many people all the time and how many of them do I ever approach or to get to know them? So, yeah. So it's like very funny how both of our, I guess, mindset for basically telling stories is interesting, especially in New York.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh. That is so much of what the experience that like prompted me to start drawing on the subway and like start this project was exactly what you're talking about is like, I moved to New York from Michigan and my mom grew up in New York. So New York was like kind of always this like storied place in my mind. Like when we would go visit my grandma, it was just like, oh my God, this is like New York. This is where like movies happen. And like, You know, like all of this crazy big life happens here. And then when you live in the city, you realize like you spend so much of your time just like trying to just like get through it, navigate it. And like, there's literally thousands of people that you're passing through every day, but you like can't tune into them because it's just too overwhelming. And I feel like they're had that same kind of moment too, where I suddenly was like, who are these people? Like who is surrounding me on the train? Like, I know there's literally thousands and millions of stories like on this subway car alone that are just happening right now. And like, and that was kind of like what brought me in and kept me going was like, for me, drawing the people that I saw on the subway became a way of like being curious about their stories. And like, I would sort of make up a story about them when I was drawing them and be like, I think that this person, like the first person that I drew on the train, I was, so I moved to New York to become an opera singer. that was what brought me to New York.
When you told me that, I was like, wait, what?
She's yep.
like so many lives. Yeah.
Yes. I'm living, I think I'm on my like third career now. So I like to describe myself as like a really well-educated third grader, because I can sing really well. I can draw really well.
That's funny.
Yeah. But I was kind of working on that transition to my second career, which is working in advertising. And so I was doing a lot of temp gigs and just feeling super uncreative. And I was, you know, commuting home one night from a temp gig. And I just so happened to have a sketchbook with me. I've always been a doodler, but like never drew from life. Like specifically was like, I cannot draw realistic things. I will never draw realistic things. Like if you want a cat in a spacesuit, I'm your gal, but like, you know, not drawing from life. And I took out my sketchbook and I was kind of just no idea came into my mind for a doodle or to write or anything. And I just kind of looked around the train and like exactly what you're talking about. Like I just started like wondering about the people that were on the train with me. And there was this guy across from me. He was like, just one of those classic, like, who are you New York moments. Like he was probably in his late 70s if he was a day, and he was wearing a brown, like full, like leisure suit, basically, like vest, you know, matching suit jacket, like had a hat on, was like carrying an umbrella. And he was going into the city at like when everyone else was leaving the city. And I was just like, who is this guy? Like, this guy has got a story. He is going somewhere. Like, I'm just so curious. And so I was like, you know what, I'm going to try drawing him. And I did. And like, it just kind of allowed me to have like that moment that you're talking about of just like, as I was kind of drawing all these details, just like wondering, who is this guy? What's his story? What's he doing? Where's he going? Like, what brought him to New York? Why is he on this train going to like Manhattan at 5 o'clock at night when everyone else is, you know, leaving the city? Like, so it was just that. And then I just kind of got hooked on that. Like it made the time pass, and it sort of like connected me to New York in a way that I think I was really missing, especially being like a Midwesterner, where like, you know, I feel like we're really chatty. We like are always kind of, you know, stand in line with some New Yorkers. I've discovered are much more this way too, but like, you know, I think I was kind of missing that sense of connection, and this kind of became a way to like be curious about the people around me.
Mm-hmm. And I understand this was on the F train, right?
Yes, exactly.
Because that's on a train.
Yes.
I was like, shout out to the F train. Okay, so after you drew the guy, did you end up having a conversation, or what happened afterwards?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. That I think that was kind of my first foray into this. And I think I was so surprised at like the instinct to draw, and that it like turned out kind of okay. Like I was like, oh, I like this. And I just sort of left it at that. I didn't give the sketch to him. I just sort of like tucked it away. But as my confidence grew in my ability to like capture the likeness of somebody and make a drawing that like wouldn't be like offensive just because it's like, oh wow, is that what you think I look like? And it's like, no, I just can't draw. But once I kind of got a little bit more like confident in my skills, I made a point to start giving my drawings to people on the train, and that became a very like interesting interaction, because as you know, most people like in New York, or especially on the subway, are like not trying to be talked to.
Right. I have so many questions about this process. So first of all, do you basically just go into it and whoever catches your attention, you draw them? Like is there like a requirement? Like how do you go about choosing your subject?
Yeah, that's such a good question. It's a really good question. It just depends. I feel like I sit down on the train, and the first thing I do, like when I get on a train, is, you know, if I can sit down, I sit down and I take out my sketchbook and my pen, and I do that even if I'm standing too. Mm-hmm. I've gotten pretty good at drawing and standing, but I'll just, once I do that, I kind of scan the train, and I'm looking for those stories. Like I'm looking for some detail about somebody that says something to me. So like one of my favorite drawings I've ever done is really simple. It's literally this woman's hand just draped over a purse, and I didn't even draw the woman herself. Mm-hmm. But like, I remember like sitting on the train and looking around, and you know, this lady, she was like, you could tell she wasn't like, I don't think she was a millionaire, like, but she had like the bearing of like a queen, like just the way that she draped her hand over her purse. I was like, that woman is so elegant. Like, she is amazing. And it was just that gesture, like that little detail about her. And I, that is all that I drew in the end to like kind of represent her, is like, mm-hmm. this to me, I don't know her, I don't know who she is, but like, I bet if I were to get to know this person, that this would be a detail that would be a part of her personality. But she's really like elegant and refined, or just like the way she carries herself, like you can just tell that that's got to be a part of who she is and her story. And so, you know, I might look for details like that, or I might look for like super cool, like, you know, just like interesting people or like details. Like one guy that I loved that I drew in the After Train years ago, like he had a patch on that just said like, "Good morning, New York, let's make that money." And I was like, that, I was like, yes, yes to this.
That is super New York for you.
Super New York. So yeah, so it's just like whatever detail kind of catches my eye and I feel like has like an element of like story or personality about the person.
Okay. And then my second question is, for those that are around you, I'm sure they're looking at you because it's, you know, if you have like a sketchbook, it's pretty obvious. So mm-hmm. how do you deal with that? Has there ever been a moment where you felt awkward, or is it, I mean, I guess you're comfortable now with doing it for so long, but has there ever been just an instance where a lot of people were watching you?
Yeah, I definitely had to get comfortable with that because I try and be pretty like low key and, okay. Yeah. And I like, I've kind of developed my own method where I can like sort of look at somebody just a couple times to sort of memorize the details of their face so that I'm not like staring crazily at somebody yeah. across the way because yeah. this is New York and I'm not trying to get, you know, beat up on the train.
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Oh yeah. So that helps, but I definitely like, yeah, people sitting next to me usually at some point will kind of like look over and be like, oh, what's going on? Yeah, and usually people are friendly, like they'll kind of ask like, oh, that's cool, what are you doing? Or, you know, I've almost exclusively had good interactions. And I'm remembering like one time so I was drawing somebody across from me and the guy next to me was like, oh, that's really cool. And I was like, thanks. And he was like, would you draw my daughter? And he just pulled his phone out and pulled up this picture of his daughter at like Disney World with like, you know, with like Mickey ears on. And I was like, I mean, I got 20 minutes left in this commute. Yeah, yeah. I'm going to do this. So we just like sat there on the train. He like had his phone out and I'm drawing from his phone. I was like,
yeah, yes. I feel like that would be me. If I saw somebody, I would say like, can you draw me next? Yes. Okay. Another question. Obviously in New York, you never know what the stop is for the person, like when they're getting off. So have you ever had an instance where you were drawing and then the person leaves?
Yes, always.
So what happens then? Do you just kind of complete it and then obviously you don't give it to them, or do you start a new one?
Yeah, I because of that, I feel like it's been a really interesting way of like, I'm totally self-taught. So this, it has like really influenced my drawing style. So my drawing style is very minimal, very like efficient, you know, kind of just trying to be evocative with every line. And that's because like, I really, sometimes I have 30 seconds to start drawing someone before they get off the train. Sometimes they're riding the whole way with me, but I have gotten really good at memorizing details. So like if somebody leaves, I'm halfway through a drawing, I'm like, that's okay, because I memorized, you know, like wow. the stripes that you had on your pants, that was cool. Or, and then, you know, like, yeah, so I try and that's one way I've kind of worked with it. And yeah, I've definitely chased people down low key. Like I've been like, hey, I drew you. I just want to make sure you get this before you hop off the train.
That's amazing. So,
yeah.
And then I'm assuming you've had only pretty much positive responses or reactions when you hand them their drawing.
Yeah. 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 I would say like 100% actually, which is kind of crazy. Yeah, people are usually really confused at first. There's like a second where like this random girl is just like, you know, and I've kind of worked out a little bit of a system. Like at a certain point, I decided to get like business cards because I was like, maybe that will make it feel like less weird than this girl just like tearing off a scrap of paper and like handing it to people. So I had a little card that, you know, just like if I couldn't kind of get out, you know, hi, I drew you on the train and it's part of this Drawn on the Way project. Like at least my card could kind of do that. And then on the back of that card, it says, you are a work of art, which is my philosophy. So like kind of felt like that helped me like kind of get some of my information out there a little faster, but usually I'll just kind of like turn my notebook towards them and kind of say, hey, I drew you, and if you'd like this drawing, I'd like to give it to you. And usually people are like kind of confused for a second, and then you see like the smile break out on their face, and then I'm able to give them the drawing. And I've actually like stayed in touch with, you know, a decent amount of the people that I have connected with this way. Like, I just posted something the other day, a picture of this girl in this amazing hat. She commented on it. She was like, hey, I remember meeting you. I made that hat. And I was like, yeah, you did. That was awesome. And like, so it's been a really interesting way of sort of like, yeah, introducing myself to all sorts of people. But yeah, it's always been, people are often confused at first. And then there's like a second where they're like processing what has happened and that it's a good thing and that something nice happened. And then I always like that, like, I don't ask for anything in return. I'm like, I'm not asking. Literally, this is just a gift for you for existing in the world. Like, and inspiring me.
That's such a great just outlook on life. I think what's surprising to me the most is the fact that you are self-taught. So did you ever, like, in, you know, before you did this for a living, have the mentality of like, oh, I can draw, or I like to draw, or like, was that ever, or was it just like a hobby?
Yeah, it was, I always doodled growing up. And I think like, yeah, so I was artistic always growing up, and like creativity was something that I knew that was a part of me. But I feel like at that particular time in my life, you know, I was going from being, you know, daily a creative person as an opera singer, and then kind of transitioning into like 9-to-5 work. And I feel like it was like kind of like when you push one drawer in and another one pops out. That's like, like I kind of like closed that creativity drawer and was kind of like doing, you know, more office-y type work and stuff.
Why that change?
So when I started singing more and more, I was pretty successful. I was like singing all over, and it is a really hard life, because unlike being a Broadway person, where at least you're like, you know, going to the same theater every day, with opera, there's theaters literally all over the country. And so when you book a gig, you're kind of gone like 6 weeks minimum, between like rehearsal and the show dates. And that was really fun. But after a while, you realize you're never home. And I really started seeing like people in the industry who were, you know, like, they had kids and they had families, and they're like, yeah, I haven't seen my kids in 6 months. I'm like, that doesn't sound like something I'd be interested in. So kind of like the more successful I got with it, the more I was like, I just don't think that this is the life for me. And so I kind of like, yeah, I kind of, it was a moment where like all of, you know, my training to be a singer, you know, you hear over and over, people are like, if you don't love this more than anything else, don't do it. And I never really understood that. Like, I was always like, oh yeah, you have to love it more than anything else to like be the best. And then I kind of realized, oh, like you really have to love this career more than anything else, because it will come before everything else in your life. And if that feels like a sacrifice to you, then that's always going to feel like a sacrifice to you. And if that feels just like, yep, that's how I get to have this career, is like, I have to live this way, then that's maybe a better mashup for you. But for me, it just was like not a lifestyle that was going to work for me. Yeah. So then I was kind of like, I'd always had this dream of working in advertising, cause I like to write and I like, art. And so I kind of thought that would be a place to do that. So that's kind of when I made that transition. But there is a couple years in there where it was like, you know, temping and just working like totally mind numbing jobs as like the secretary in like really boring offices where people don't know your name, and you're like 8 hours a day of just staring at a screen being really bored. So right. Yeah. So I felt like that creativity just like needed somewhere to go. Yeah. And I think actually it's funny, because I went to school for singing. So I, you know, went up through the classical method, you know, lots of critique, lots of like classes and, you know, poking and prodding and sort of, you know, no, you've got to do it this way. And, you know, this is what all these rules. And I think in a way, this discovery of like teaching myself how to do drawing and how to be an artist and a visual artist was almost like therapy for that. It was like, I made this deal very early on with myself, and I don't really know where I like found the wisdom, but the first day that I drew that guy across from me, I was like, oh, that was really cool. That was really fun. And I looked at the drawing and I was like, this is not the best drawing that could have been made of this guy. Like a million other artists could have done a better job, but I really liked this process. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to like steal that from myself. So I, you know, day after day, I found myself doing it because it was fun. And I kind of found this moment where I was enjoying it, but my skills weren't where I wanted them to be. And I feel like that's where a lot of people give up. And I feel like it was in that moment where I was like, you know, you're gonna tune into like the sensation that you get when you do this, which is like joy and happiness and calm. And you're gonna kind of ignore the product, the end result. And I feel like that's how I ended up just being able to continue, is actually just like focusing on the fact that I enjoyed doing it, not worrying how it turned out. And then just by the process of repetition and making mistakes, that's how I taught myself. And I feel like that was a really different experience than what I'd had learning how to be a classical musician, where it's all about the end product. And the process is really painful because it's all about like being perfect. And when I kind of was like, I'm releasing that as a concept. Like I'm just here to make my commute, which is like kind of boring, kind of tedious, a little bit more interesting. Mm-hmm. I feel like when I changed that perspective, like then just time and repetition and my mistakes became really, really excellent teachers for me. And that's just been the process. It's just like daily daily mm-hmm. repetition.
Yeah, that sounds like the quote to enjoy, what is it, like the journey instead of the destination, I believe.
Yeah
enjoy the process. And yeah, it's great that you adopt that mindset. So what was the moment when you, I guess, switched from doing this as a hobby, because I know you're super passionate about it, to essentially making a career for yourself?
I would say it started kind of, you know, I started first by just like when I started sharing on Instagram, I kind of noticed, oh, like people are liking this and like I'm getting new followers and stuff. So like there must be something here. I feel like that was kind of the first like external affirmation mm-hmm. in the larger world that like, oh, maybe I'm doing something. And then I have to give a shout out to Brittany Hennessy.
That's how I met you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Author of Influencer. She and I had worked together, and she had moved on to a new job at Hearst, and she called me up, and she knew that I did this, that I drew people on the train. And she called me up and she was like, hey, I'm doing a fashion week event. Would you want to come draw live portraits at it? And and in my mind I was like, oh my God, no, I don't know if I could do that. Oh my God, I'll probably die or like catch on fire or something. Like I just do this on the train. Like, are you crazy? And then out of my mouth, I was like, yeah, of course, totally. See you tomorrow. Like, and so like, she kind of actually just like by offering me that opportunity kind of showed me a path of like, okay, you are making portraits really quickly on the spot of people. And you've developed this unique style, and you could take that out of the subway, and you could do that at events. And that would be another application of this where you could like maybe actually get money to do the same thing that you're doing. And so it was really like her invitation that I feel like kind of unlocked that moment where I was like, oh, this is a path. This is a path to like do this and make some money at it versus no money.
I think she's awesome. And I feel like she has so much knowledge in the industry, mm-hmm. and she's really, I guess, spearheading the whole like influencer movement.
She really is, yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, she's amazing. We at our office, we used to call her the maximizer because like everything she did, she just like made it better. And I feel like, yeah, she's actually been like a big inspiration for me just in a lot of ways. But like, I feel like because of that attitude, I feel like she's just got a very like can do.
Yeah, exactly.
So to me, I'm like, oh, all right, I'll just pretend like I'm Brittany and then maybe I'll be brave.
Yeah, you just gotta embody it and then it'll come naturally for sure.
100%. Yes.
I honestly believe in like fake it till you make it. 100%. Oh,
that is the number one. That is my number one advice. Yes. 100%. Say yes, figure it out later. Yeah, like you will. You will. Yes.
Okay. So I want to shift the direction of this conversation a little bit. And I'm curious to know what keeps you up at night right now, whether that's the pandemic or not. And this can be related to your business or not. It can be personal. Just, I wanna, like what you were saying, we are always on the go or normally on the go. And we all just like, live our different lives. But when do we take time to sit down and really analyze, you know, am I happy? How am I feeling? What's going on? Like all of these emotions that I think most of us ignore. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you were to just look internally right now, is there anything that's stressing you out? Or just what's on your mind?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So much. yeah, I feel like we are in a real, special storm of strangeness at this moment in time in our world. I think like one of the things that definitely keeps me up at night, like I'm trying to get better about like not reading Facebook right before I go to bed, which is like a really good recipe for having really weird dreams. Because I think like in this kind of tying it back to like two elements of my, you know, artistic mission and deal is like, one is this idea, you know, that everyone is a work of art and that we're all worthy of being seen and being heard. And I think I really do stay up at night these days, just feeling like I've gotten a real education in the last few months and the last few years, really at like the voices that don't get heard in our country. As a woman, I think I've like really started to kind of get my eyes open to that. Obviously like people of color, like that's been a huge thing that we're all learning about and just getting a more information about how that affects all of us. And so I think that's something that really does keep me up at night. It's just kind of like being like, God, I really naively want to live in a country where there's real fairness and real equity and people can just like be who they are without being afraid of that. Cause I think that's something that like in my artistic journey and my journey as a person is just like, I tried to not be an artist. Like I tried to be like, I'm going to be 9 to 5. I'm going to do these other things. And I just ended up back here where I am. And I feel like that's cause I'm just kind of like learning. That's my process is like, this is who I am. I'm a creative person. I see the world in this particular way. And like, it has to be a part of who I am. And I can't suppress that. I can't, you know, if I don't pay attention to that, then I'm not who I am. And so I want that. I want that ability for everybody in this country to just be able to like be who they are and be safe with that and celebrated for that. And I really do worry about, you know, people's ability to keep doing that with everything that's going on. So that's definitely something that like keeps you up at night. And I think, you know, the other element of that is like, with the pandemic and everything that's going on, you know, I'm a live illustrator and I work at events. I, you know, I have another business where I live illustrate at weddings. And so with events not happening, that is definitely like, there are definitely nights where I'm like, huh, so that business plan you made, how's that working out for you, friend? And I'm like,
So what have you been doing? Like, have you been just practicing your craft? Have you found other ways to, you know, get your artwork seen by more people? Like, how are you handling this and how are you adjusting?
Yeah, it has been interesting because I feel like yeah, when your kind of whole deal is like, I'm all about being on the way and traveling and, you know, like making art of all the strangers that you see. And then all of a sudden it's like, don't leave your house. Everyone's wearing a mask. Like everything is canceled. It is definitely a readjustment. And I feel like it's definitely forced me to kind of examine my own philosophy of, you know, finding the extraordinary in the everyday and like not overlooking the things that fill our day when we're on the way, and also kind of taking that philosophy and being like, well, what if you're not on the way? What if you're just in the middle of your life, and the middle of your life is sitting around in your apartment most of the day, you know, like what then? So it's kind of forced me to like really lean into that and kind of just like try and find the ways to be grateful, like as cheesy mm-hmm. as that sounds, but like to, you know, find the ways to be interested in the things that are still happening and be appreciative of them. And it's also given me a lot of time to start exploring new mediums. I would say I'm really primarily like an illustrator. That's what I taught myself to be. And now that I'm not traveling as much to make my art, I'm like, oh, I could like set up more of a studio for myself, and I could use paints, because you can't bring like a whole paint set on the subway.
Imagine.
Yeah.
It wouldn't even be like crazy though, to be honest. Like if you did whip out your little board, your canvas, your paint, like you see crazier stuff in New York.
That's true. That would actually be, now I kind of want to do that. I feel like that's amazing. Yeah. I just want to set up like a full on art studio in a subway car, and just like people come in and be like, welcome to my studio. Please take a seat over there.
I love it.
Okay.
So, subway, so have you taken it recently or at all?
No. So I've actually been, I came back to Michigan, where I'm from. So I have been, I have to confess, I have been one of the people who quarantined outside of the city. So
it's okay.
Yeah.
There are no rules to how you handle this, and it's what's best for you. So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I have to admit, I am one of those people. I appreciate your outlook on that. Yeah. So that's, yeah. So no, I have not taken the subway, but I do miss it. Like I miss New York. Like I feel like, and I hear from my friends who are there, they're like, yeah, we miss New York too. Cause it's not really,
it's not the same, I will tell you, but I will say the positive is that the subways are extremely clean. I've taken a handful of times, and it's, you know, I think it was stated that it has never been clean, like,
oh my God.
Like ever, into like to the extent that we had recently. So shocking, but not shocking.
That. Yeah, I've definitely been on some trains that I it's not hard for me to imagine they were never cleaned.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing. All right, that's a bright side from
the whole thing. So something to look forward to when you come back.
Exactly. Yeah, so super clean. I'm totally stealing this idea, and I'm just gonna bring a full on art
to it. I encourage you. I think that would be brilliant. I don't think anybody's doing that right now. So hey.
I'm here for it. I love it.
So this podcast is called The City Confessions, and the reason why is because I want people to come on and share their stories and their experiences and struggles and, you know, all of that. But then, speaking of coming across people, I also feel like everybody has, aside from a story, also a confession. So this can be anything. It can be something silly, something surface level, or even deep and serious. Of course, it's however you interpret that and whatever you're comfortable sharing. So if you were to complete the sentence of my confession is, what would that be?
Oh my gosh. Okay.
I know, I feel like I just like throwing that on you, but I just think it's interesting. And I think some questions that I often ask to get, you know, the wheels turning is like, what is something that people don't know about you, or like a misconception that people have of you, or something you wish people knew about you? Yeah, I feel like those questions hopefully are helpful.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Let's see. Something I wish people knew about me is a confession. I should have been prepared for this because I feel like with a name like City Confessions.
No, it's fine. I know sometimes people, I feel like people take the question a little like, not too seriously, but they're like, oh my God, I have to come up with a good confession. And I'm like, no, there's no right or wrong or good or bad. It's just something that whatever comes up, you know, in your mind. And I think for me, I feel like a big part of it with this podcast is, you know, I'm interviewing guests, but I have solo episodes here and there. And in those episodes, I talk about basically what I ask you, you know, like what's keeping me up at night, what's stressing me out. And then often I have like a revelation at the end. And it usually stems from, you know, past struggles or traumas. I mean, that's a more serious route, but I just feel like we all have not even baggage, but just a part of us that is hidden from the world, but that there is this beauty when we release it, whether it can be something, again, it can be something silly, mm-hmm. but that's just like my outlook on it. So yeah, don't think too harshly on it. It's just, it's a lighthearted little theme I have running through all the episodes.
I love it. Okay. All right. I have two confessions for you.
That's great. We got a bonus one.
Bonus one. All right. I'm going to give you my lighthearted confession first. So my first confession is that my guilty pleasure is watching QVC.
Oh my God, really? Yes. Is QVC even like a thing? No.
It is. It's so I find it weirdly relaxing. And
do you purchase the items though? Like, are you one of those people?
Okay. For years, like, cause I would only watch it when I would come home to visit my parents. Like no one in my family watches it, but they had like cable. So I would just like turn it on and like just watch it. I don't know why I find it so relaxing and calming.
It's
just
funny.
Yes. And then I have to admit, during the pandemic, I did finally break down and I did buy I bought Josie Maran sugar scrub for the shower because I was like, I deserve it. Everything's terrible.
That's a reasonable purchase.
Yes. Sure. Yes. So that's my guilty pleasure. Is really mostly just watching it. Like I bought that in a pair of shoes.
I've never heard this before, but I love it.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. So that's my dirty secret. And then I would say my other confession that actually like kind of, I'm just thinking about from our conversation is that, and this is a bigger one, is that I think like, I have no idea what I'm doing. like fake it till you make it, I feel like is 100% where I'm at right now. Like I'm building a business in like a really niche, you know, specialty of live illustration and learning how to be a freelance artist and learning how to be a business person and like learning all of these things. And I feel like I hear from people, they're like, oh, you're doing this and that. You're like, no, what you're doing so much. And like inside, I'm like, oh my God, I literally am like every day by the seat of my pants, just trying to figure it out. I don't know if what I'm doing is wrong or right. I'm just like trying my best to like, I think take the lessons that I've learned in my life of like, you know, it doesn't work to be who you're not. So like, I'm just trying to like tune in to just like the things that pop up in the paths that like open for me and that feel good and just be like, I'm going to walk down that road, even though I have no idea where it's going. I don't know how to be on it. And I don't really know what I'm doing, but I'm just going to try it. And I feel like that's definitely my confession, is that like, I'm doing all of this stuff, but I at the same time, I have absolutely no idea if I'm doing it right or really what I'm doing, but I'm just faking it till you're making it. My way.
I want to tell you that so many people that have been on this podcast share the same sentiment. And I think I don't know why we don't realize it, or maybe again, we're just professionals at faking it, but I don't think any of us know what the hell we're doing. And we're honestly just going through life, you know, to go through life. And we take it every day at a time. And I think if anything, this pandemic has proved that to be true for sure. Yeah. So you're not alone, girl.
Thank you. I feel better hearing that. I think that, yeah, it's funny. I feel like the older I get, the more I like, you know, meet people or, you know, talk to my friends who I like from the outside. I'm like, oh my God, you're so like, you have everything together. And then they're like, oh my God, like I was
even older. You knew.
yeah, exactly. If only you knew, like it is not what it looks like from the outside. And I'm like, so none of us know? Is that the secret?
I think that's the secret of life.
I think so. Like,
that's the truth for sure.
I really think that's right.
So I just want to take a moment right now to acknowledge your energy and your presence and your willingness to record this episode. I met you briefly at Brittany's event, and I've always been intrigued by artists and people who are creatives. And I think that your story is interesting, and I love that you are pursuing basically your dream, and the fact that this wasn't your only dream. I think it's really inspiring. And yeah, I think even with this pandemic, you know, time is valuable. So the fact that you took time out of your day to come and chit chat with all of us, I really, really appreciate that.
Oh my goodness. Thank you so much. That is so lovely. I was really, really excited and honored when you reached out. I was like, oh my God, she wants to talk to me? So right back at you. Thank you. I'm really, really excited.
Two more questions before we actually wrap it up. So the second to last is, what is the best compliment you've ever received?
I feel like,
I think this is such a good question, not to toot my own horn, but I feel like it gives like the guests a chance to sit down and one, go through the compliments they receive, but also accept it. You know, I think a lot of times when people compliment each other, yes, the initial response is thank you, but sometimes you question it, you know, you're like, wait, really? Or like, you know, and I feel like we need to stop doing that and accept it and actually say, you know what, whatever you compliment me on, you're right, you know, like, and own it. So.
Yes. Oh my God, I love that. Yes. Like, yes to all of that. That's a really great, wow, I love that so much. I'm sitting here, I'm like, oh wow, what have people said to me? That's nice. I think, yeah, I mean, just like the first kind of like, you know, compliment that I think I've gotten is like, from people, I feel like people that have found my work on Instagram that like don't know me, so there's no obligation for them to say nice things to me. Mm-hmm. And people who've been like, wow, like you really like captured like that person so well, like that personality, or like it's been, I feel like it's been a compliments that have sort of said like affirmed what I want to be doing with my work, where people have said like, yeah, like you shared something about that person. You made me, actually, this is it. I found my way to it. I have had several people message me over the years and say, I look at the world differently now because of your work. Like when I'm on the train, I look at the people around me. When I'm, you know, yeah. And that to me is like crying.
And it's not even like a compliment to me, but I feel like it's such a, not that you should seek validation, but that is so validating for your work and mission.
Thank you. Yes, I have. Yeah, it is like one of those moments where you're like, I did a thing in the world.
I made it, mama.
So that's a great question. I love that.
Thanks. And then the final question is basically all your plugins. I'm going to leave all your description and information I'm going to leave all your information in the description, but what can people be on the lookout for? Do you have any secret projects you can reveal? This is like when you, you know, do a little teaser and all your plugins.
Oh yeah. Okay. I have a few things. I have a new fundraising collection called Be the Change. That's dedicated to, you know, some of the current things that we're dealing with right now. So it's dedicated to making sure we have a vibrant democracy and democratic process. It's a nonpartisan organization called vote.org that I'm going to be donating to. So that's new on the shop. And that will be permanent going forward. So right now I'm focusing on voting, but we'll find another organization and mission to donate to going forward through that collection. I also have a business called Drawn on Your Day where I live illustrate weddings. And I know folks are still getting married these days. So I've been finding ways to, you know, even zoom into weddings or attend very, very small weddings right now. And then I do have one really big project that is in the works, but I can't say anything more about it. But
that's fun.
Yeah.
That's a good way to get people, you know, interested, get them, you know, be on the lookout for. So it's fine. You don't need to reveal everything.
Exactly. Got to keep something secret.
Exactly. Okay, well, there you have it, folks. That's the episode. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I will leave all of Sarah's information in the description. As I said before, make sure to follow her. Her work is amazing, and I love what she's doing, and I'm sure you guys will as well. You guys will as well. That sounds awkward. And stay tuned for next week's episode. All right, bye.
Bye. Thank you.
Okay, let me...